Hey everyone, if you're interested in becoming a hairstylist or owning your own salon, stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school. Everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. If you're here right now, then you are listening to a career chat episode. In all these episodes, we interview people in different careers, different occupations, so you can understand what the heck it is that they do and how they got there. So today, we are going to interview Brittany Lemieux. Let me just do a brief bio, and then we'll jump right into our conversation. But Brittany is an owner of BL Beauty. Brittany is a professional stylist who specializes in customizing color, cutting, and styling. A graduate of the Paul Mitchell School, she has maintained her education by taking classes both in person and online to stay up on the trends of the industry. There isn't much she enjoys more than transforming her clients. Whether they leave feeling more rested, more confident, or with a big physical transformation in color and or cut, Brittany aims to help her clients feel better when they leave than when they came into the salon. She creates a space where people can feel relaxed and confident in themselves and in their styles. Welcome, Brittany, onto the show, everybody. Woo, woo, woo.
Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you, Brittany. And I'm reading your bio, and I'm thinking, like, I thought you were going to say, like, she enjoys manatees, because I remember you.
I do. I thought
you almost were going to plug that in there. I was like.
Yeah, I should have. Missed opportunity, for sure. They are definitely my spirit animal. I love them so much.
That is so funny. But thank you, Brittany, for being on our show today, and we'll jump into the first question. So,
okay.
I know we kind of mentioned it in your bio, but what career are you in and what is your current title?
So, I am a hairstylist, which is in the field of cosmetology. I am the owner and lead stylist at my salon, which is located in Rhode Island. So, I work behind the chair. I primarily, like, I would say that's like my top priority of the job. And then the paperwork and business responsibilities also fall to me as the owner, but the part I enjoy most is doing the hair.
And what is your educational background? Can you just, I know you mentioned before that you went to the school of Paul Mitchell, but can you explain like how explain a little bit more about your journey too? Because I know we mentioned before that initially this wasn't your first like career that you sought after. Could you tell us a little bit about that journey?
Sure. So yes, this is a second career for me. I actually went to college, and I graduated from Carson Newman College, which is a private college in Tennessee. But I had always wanted to do hair. I'd always wanted to pursue that industry. And my mom really wanted me to go to school. So I'm of the generation where, you know, trades are bad and college is good. And so I was kind of ushered in that direction. And so I did get my degree. I have a Bachelor of Arts with a double major in psychology and mass communications with an emphasis in advertising and public relations. And then when I graduated college, I went home and that night said, I should have gone to cosmetology school. I don't want to do this. Like, my mom and I had a conversation, and it was basically kind of like, okay, I get what you're saying, but we just paid for 4 years of, you know, college. So let's get you a job and see where it leads. And cosmetology school isn't going anywhere. And so like, let's see. And I thought that I wanted to be an event planner. So I was like, okay, well, let me try to get into advertising and public relations and try to work my way there. And that didn't happen for me. So I just kind of ended up working. Well, I started out at Enterprise Rent-A-Car and kind of paid my dues there. I think that's the thing that people don't tell you about when you go to college. You think you're going to leave college and have like this great paying job just like waiting for you. That's not the case, right? So like, nope. And you leave and you have all these loans and you need a job, because you also, like, for me, I wasn't going to move home. So I needed a job so that I could pay for rent and I could pay for groceries and I could pay my loans. So, yeah, so I worked through corporate. That job led to another job, led to another job. And I ended up working for Citizens Bank as a project manager there. I went and grew up in Tennessee. Through my career path after college, I ended up moving to Rhode Island while I was with Enterprise Rent-A-Car, because I could easily transfer and have a job. And I had family in Rhode Island, so I wanted to be closer to them. And so I guess I should also mention that I'm a believer. So, like, God really just kind of took me from Tennessee, brought me to Rhode Island. I didn't know then what he had in store, but in Rhode Island, I ended up at Citizens, and my office was right down the hill. Like, I could walk to Paul Mitchell. And so every day I got to work and I would look over and I would see this cosmetology school, like, staring me in the face, and that dream had never gone away. So I ended up talking to my husband one day and I was like, I'm not happy. Like, I do not like what I'm doing. I have been kind of paying my dues, trying to make this work. And I said, I just feel like I need something more creative. And at the time I didn't even consider it as, like, a new job. I genuinely just wanted to go because it was something I had always been interested in, and I just wanted to learn the trade. So he was like, well, let's do it. I was very fortunate enough that I was making enough money that I could afford to do that. And I have a very supportive husband. So because it meant work full time during the day and school at night. And so that's what I did. And for cosmetology in Rhode Island, you have to have 1,500 hours. So everything is driven by number of hours of experience. And so it's not like with college, it's a set 4 years or 5 years, like you have your semesters. It's not like that with cosmetology. So you sign on, they do have different enrollment periods, but once you enroll, you have to complete your hours of experience in order to graduate. So the way Paul Mitchell did it, you had 6 weeks of what they call core class, which is where you learn, like, the basic techniques of haircutting, coloring, perming, relaxing, dreadlocks, like, you name it, they taught it. And it was like high level basics, like, here's the kind of product you would need, and this is kind of how you do it. But they don't, in that 6 weeks, you're not really learning how to do it. You're just learning the technique. And then after that, you graduate to phase one, which is then for the next, like, however many months it takes you, where you start to actually work on clients. And that is where, for cosmetologists, the hands-on is really where you start to figure out what works and what doesn't. You realize how you need to hold your shears and how you need to hold a tool and, like, how it works for you. Because they can teach you, like, each haircut has, like, a different technical term. Like, this is a square cut, this is a round cut. But, like, what does that actually mean in your brain? And a lot of people who go into the trades, at least for myself, I learn by doing. I'm not, like, I struggled through college because I wasn't a great, like, book. I can comprehend, but, like, I struggle to, especially with something that is so hands-on, I need to do it. Like, if you put me in front of a computer and tell me, just click on this, I need to click those buttons and then it will sink in, right? So I'm the same way with hair. You can tell me, you just comb it down and you cut right here. But until I've combed that hair and cut that hair, it means nothing to me. Mm-hmm. So then you go through that and then you end up graduating at the end of the 1500. And then when you graduate, you ideally move on to a salon, or you find whatever path you want within the cosmetology industry. And there are many. For me, I thought I was just going to do it for fun out of my house. And so I loved it. And then a friend of mine told me about a woman who was literally 2 minutes away from my house, who owned a salon, and she was going to be retiring. And wanted to, was looking for somebody to take over the business. And she, and my friend's like, do you want to talk to her? And I said, I am not at all looking to own a business, but I would love to go and have a chat with this woman who has been doing this job for 50 plus years. Like, yeah. I would love her take on how things have changed. And so I went thinking I was just going to have a conversation, and God gave me a business. So here we are. Awesome. Yeah. So that was my path in, but
that's cool. That was all divine intervention, it sounds like, for sure.
Oh, 100%. I mean, when I ended up meeting with this woman, and, you know, I have to share it because it's just amazing. But like, this is not for anybody out there who thinks like this might happen. This is so, so rare. But like, I met with this woman, and she's like, I just want somebody that's going to take care of my clients. And I was like, well, how much do you want for the business? And she was like, nothing.
Whoa.
I said, what do you mean? Why? Right. That's not real. Like, nothing. And she's like, nothing. And I was like, so I start looking around in this salon, and I like, there's chairs there, and there's dryers, and there's product, and there's like all this stuff. And I was like, so you're going to take all this with you? And she was like, no, I'm leaving it all. Like, I'm done. I want to make sure my clients are taken care of.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so I ended up, you know, I ended up convincing her to let me at least buy the product off, because like, you spent all this money, at least let me pay you back for that. Like, so, I bought a business for what it costs for the product, which is just an amazing, like, definitely just God intervened. And where I was supposed to be. I should also mention that all of that was 2 years to the day before they shut things down for COVID. So it's just kind of amazing how God has, and I'm now, in April will be 6 years in business, and God's provided the whole way. So it's hard work, but like in the end of it, I genuinely feel like it's just always meant to be.
Yeah.
That is incredible. That's awesome.
Yeah. It really was meant to be, just in your story. It was just like, from the beginning, you're like, I wanted to do cosmetology. And it was like, no. And then like you did, then I love how you mentioned earlier, like, you know, you did the general path where it's like, I'm supposed to go to college. That's supposed to lead me to a job that's supposed to pay well. Like that path that everybody thought is specifically sculpted out, supposed to, you know, equal to making a lot of income. And all the conversations that we've had with people and doing different chats, we only had like one person that came out making bank, like right out of college. And we were like, you made that much? But everybody else on their journey, it was like, no, we came out of college and we were not making as much money as we thought, especially with the loans. And your story was just, it's just so interesting how you're like, no, I knew I wanted to do this. And that's why we really wanted to have you on to speak to like those trade skills and that like there are opportunities for people in trade. Like you can actually go out there and get a good job doing a trade and also in a smaller amount of time compared to just doing a 4 year. And then you're not necessarily making the money that your loans are taken out for. So
Exactly. And you know, it's crazy because for me, like even just sitting here thinking about like how I got there, I was thinking, I didn't mention this, but right out of college, I was struggling to find that like job, that corporate job that everyone, you know, thinks is just going to be available. And I ended up working two part-time jobs as a waitress, and I worked at a salon as a receptionist. And like, I never even connected that till just right now, but it's like everything was kind of setting me up. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm super grateful for what I learned in college, and I'm grateful for the path that led me here, because in terms of being a business owner, having that business experience definitely was super beneficial. I think there's a lot of people who go into cosmetology right out of high school, and you know, mentally, like there's a lot of life you have to live before you're really ready to like run a business. And so there's definitely opportunity there, especially in the field of cosmetology. You can do it and you can do it quickly, but I would encourage people, like, you don't have to do the college thing, but if running a business is what you want to do, definitely take some like additional courses outside, because the cosmetology school specifically, they just teach you about the hair and the face and the nails. They're not teaching you the business side of it. So you definitely want, or find a salon owner that is willing to kind of scoop you up under their wing and teach you what they've learned from a business perspective.
That's very cool. I wanted to ask, so I think I'll break up the question. We'll ask second part later, but can you talk about your day-to-day, like just as a hairstylist? Like we'll ask about the business owner part in a little
separate.
Bit. But yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So as a hairstylist, pretty much one of the perks of the job is I get to set my own hours. I decide when I want to work. Although, you know, you are a service industry. So if you're unavailable, you're not making money. Mm-hmm. But my day typically looks, I work Wednesday through Saturday. Usually I go in around 9 a.m. And then I will do anywhere between 8 to 10 people a day, depending on some days more than that, depending on what types of services I have in. So if I have longer services, like a color or a highlight, then especially with highlights, you don't really overlap clients because they require so much attention and the bleach can like just eat through hair. So you want to really be cognizant of time. But yeah, it's a lot of interpersonal communication, and it takes a lot mentally, because what you don't think about is that I am cutting your hair, and then you're also talking to me about your life, and you want me to feel invested in that. And so you want to feel like I care and I'm listening. And so I am actively having to think about what I'm doing and also listen and respond to what the client is talking to me about. In the industry, we have a lot of jokes about how, you know, they're telling you stories while you're blow drying hair, and they're probably saying something like, my dog is dead, and we're just like, oh great, because we can't hear over, you know. And it's like it's hard. You don't want to be that stylist, right? So you try really hard to really listen and pay attention. Something for me that I do is I try to make notes of like the big things that people tell me about, so that when they come back in for their next appointment, I'm able to say like, hey, how's your dad doing? You know, how was your vacation to wherever you told me you were going? Like, right, yeah. I try to really make note of that. So, because I think that in hairdressing, you can be very skilled at what you're doing, but if you don't have the interpersonal communication strength, that person isn't going to want to sit in your chair again.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you guys can think of stylists that like, maybe they did great and you're like, but the vibe just wasn't there. Like I didn't feel comfortable with them. And then there might be that person that like you've sat with and you're like, you know, like, I don't know about how this came out, but like, man, I really liked that person. And so I'm going to give it another shot. And that's what I tell a lot of new stylists that are working for me is you want to build that reputation. And also like, if you can't talk and work, tell them that. Like, be like, listen, I really care about you. I want to make sure that you get the best cut that you can get. So let's talk before and let's talk after. But like right now, I need to focus. There's nothing wrong with doing that.
Mm-hmm. That's really funny. Because now when you said like learning those big events, there was someone I used to go to for my hair in college. And every time I would go back, I wouldn't go back for like a couple of months for like a perm or something. She's like, oh, how's your sister Brandy? I was like, how do you remember that? I was like, well, how did she do that?
Yeah. But, yeah. It is impressive. Yeah.
I have clients that do that. Well, they're like, did I tell you that? And I'm like, well, that's the only way I would know, you know? Like, so, yeah, but it does mean a lot to you. And I try to think about that. From a stylist perspective, I try to think about like what impressed me about my stylist when I was getting my own hair done. Like I remembered that I don't pretend to remember where people part their hair. I don't pretend to remember, you know, that you prefer your bang to the side or all the way across. Like I try to pay attention to that when you come in that day, but like those are not the things I'm going to remember. But if you've told me that your brother has just told you that he's going to have a baby, the next time you come in, I'm going to say, hey, how's your sister-in-law feeling? Or was the baby born? Like those big life events, because now you know I'm invested in you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you highlighted like just skills. Cause I think we ask that. That's good to know like what skills are needed. And it's not just knowing how to cut hair, knowing how to do hair. It's like the experience as well. I think about that too when I get my hair done. I'm like, it is, and people say this too, like, it's as if you're going to a therapy session, because it's just someone that is massaging your scalp, they're doing your hair, but they're listening to you, and it's like letting you talk about your life, and then you leave and you feel better. So it really is, I think that was in your bio too, like, you want people to leave better than they came. But I'm thinking about somebody else that we interviewed in a trade, but totally different. He's a welder, but I feel like he talked about how the interpersonal, or just skills, the, what'd you say?
Yeah, the interpersonal skills.
Like, yeah, I think he did. It was something that he said about, it's not just about knowing how to do the skill. You have to have personality, and you have to have communication skills as well. So that seems, I think anything with client facing professions, you know, you want your client to know that like you said, that you're invested in what they do, because that's what makes them come back. Even if the hairstyle or your nails or your makeup doesn't look how you wanted it,
you had
a great experience. So
that's if you feel like you're connected to that person, then you feel like you can say to them, like, you know, I didn't love how this came out last time. Let's work on that together. Instead of like, if I'm acting like I'm the end all be all behind the chair, and then you leave dissatisfied, I haven't met the image I set forward to you that I'm the best, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I just try to keep it real. My salon is very, we try to keep things very light. We all talk to each other as clients. We all, our clients intermingle. Those are some of my favorite moments in the salon, is when everybody else is talking to everybody and I can step back and not be a part of the conversation, because it's also extremely draining at times. So, like, also to throw it out there, like, if you're listening to this and you're an introvert, but you've always thought about being a cosmetologist, you can do it. You just have to find your people. Like, I say I'm an extroverted introvert, because I really do like love to talk with people, but I also really like to have real conversation with people. I am not a small talk person. And that is interesting when I tell people that, because they're like, aren't you a stylist? And I'm like, yeah, but girl, I don't want to listen to you talk about the weather, because I have to talk to 12 different people about the weather. Like, I want to hear like the real stuff. And so that might not be for everybody. And I think that's one of the things, is like in the trades, I think what, especially in service trades, it's very easy to put a lot of pressure on yourself to like feel connections. But what I've learned over the last 6 years specifically is that, like, I'm not for everybody, and everybody is not for me. But you know what? There's a lot of people in this world. So the ones that are meant to connect with you will, and the ones that aren't will find the person that they feel connected to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In that same vein, you're mentioning a little bit about highlights, challenges. Can you talk about some of the highlights that you experience, and then what are some of the challenges of being a hairstylist / cosmetologist?
Yeah. So highlights for me are definitely those moments where somebody feels like you can tell they come in one attitude and they're leaving in another. So they feel like they've been lifted. Just today, I got a text from a client who came in yesterday. She has been going through chemotherapy, and it's been a really hard journey for her. And I've been her hairstylist since before she was diagnosed, and then through, and thankfully she had a lot of hair, so she lost some but didn't at all, which we're just grateful for. But yesterday she came in, she got her hair colored for the first time in a long time, and we waxed her eyebrows. And today she texted me and she was like, thank you for making me feel like myself again. And like, those are the highlights, right? Like, those are the things that remind me, like, this is why I'm where I'm supposed to be. Like, this is what I'm meant to be doing. There are other times where, like you said, it's almost like a therapy session. And so, you know, we have clients who will talk to us and open up to us about things that are like really hard. And, but those conversations, I especially, because of my beliefs, I feel like those are opportunities that God is giving me to just kind of be an ear and to, in some way or form, like just kind of point to him and let them know that, like, that they're not alone. And I try really hard in this day and age. It's really difficult when you're running a business to not be afraid of like running people out when you have those conversations. And so I just try to do it with a lot of grace. And I pray every day on the way into work that God gives me an opportunity like that, and that, that he kind of guides the words. And so I don't ever do it like in a way that feels forceful, because I think, especially in New England, a lot of people kind of been like hit over the head. So I try to just do it in a way that's like, we love you. I love you no matter who you are, what you are. You're always welcome. And I think that those are like some of the best moments in my salon, are when I'm just accepting people for who they are and allowing them to be who they are. The challenges can be some of the same things that are a blessing, right? Like when people are talking to you, those are heavy things sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I myself am not great at compartmentalizing. It's why, even though I have a degree in psychology, I didn't go into psychology.
Same.
So I can carry that home with me, and that that can weigh you down. That's definitely a challenge. I would say the biggest challenge in this industry is just that, especially right now in today's economic culture, mm-hmm. You have to price yourself in a way that you're going to make money. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming more and more of a selective service. So people need their haircut, but like, we make our money in color and in the bigger services. And those are the things that people are choosing to like forego right now. And, so I think that's a challenge that can be a very intimidating challenge when you look in the future and think like, is it going to get better? And is it going to change? And, it just has seasons, but I truly believe that I was talking to one of my older ladies. She's 90 years old, and her husband was a plumber and owned his own business. And she was asking me this weekend about how business has been. And I was like, it's starting to pick up again. And she was like, yep, it's the holidays. Like, we saw it too. And she said, January, February, it'll die right back down. I said, sure does. Mm-hmm. And it's just the ebb and flow of people's life, right? Like,
right.
So right now, everyone wants their hair done for Thanksgiving. Everyone will want their hair done for Hanukkah and for Christmas and for all their things. And then everyone buys all the gifts. And then everyone's like, oh, I got to pay that credit card off. So my hair is going to wait for a couple months, you know, and then it picks back up. And so those can be some of the challenges if you're not good at budgeting, or you're not good at, like, the first year I was in business, I didn't know what to expect. And so that was like a shock for me, because I was spending a lot of money because I was in year one. So advertising and really trying to kind of build the brand. So here I am like making money, spending money. And then all of a sudden I hit this lull and I'm like, I'm not making anything, and rent still has to be paid and things still have to be done. And so like those can be very challenging times. And of course, anything that requires customer facing brings its own level of, shall we call them Karens, frustration.
Any service-based business, no matter, even like with us being advisors, it's like, what about today?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So thankfully, having been at Enterprise Rent-A-Car and all those things, like I know that majority of the time, like, their bad attitude toward me is more about their bad day than it is about me. But man, as a human being, that's not always the easiest thing to remember.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's just so true. I feel like that's always like the anchor of like, you know, it's on them, it's not on you. But man, why'd you have to ruin my day today? Like,
right.
What? Right. Exactly. But like, why did I have to be your punching bag?
Exactly. Yeah. So I want to jump back before we dive a little bit more into like the business aspect of opening your own business. You mentioned like in cosmetology school, I'm losing my words today, that you can do hairstyling. And then also you mentioned makeup and nails. So is there anything else, or can you kind of just dive a little bit into those? Because then you also mentioned after people graduate that they kind of pick their own journey or what they want to do specifically after that.
Right. So So cosmetology is, a broad spectrum. When you go to cosmetology school, they teach you the basics in, they primarily teach you the hair, and then they teach you the basics in nails, makeup, and aesthetics. So, and aesthetics is like your skin. So facials, and like really like extraction and all that stuff. So when you leave school, you can decide you're legally licensed to perform basic esthetician work. So like I could technically offer facials at my salon. I just wouldn't be able to do any extractions or anything like that, chemical peels, anything that like required anything in depth. And then you're also licensed for nails. So I could have gone. So when you leave school, you can choose like, do I want to do hair? Do I want to go back to school, continue my education, do like a 600 more hours and get my aesthetics license? Or do I, and you can actually choose to go to esthetician school straight off the bat if you know that hair, nails, and that stuff is not your cup of tea. You just want to focus in on skin. And then the nails is, you would go into a nail salon and become a nail tech. So for me, I don't like feet. So that was never going to be. even when I went to school, I was like, do I have to do pedicures? Like, is that something that you're really going to make us do? And they were like, no, we don't do that. Sweet. This is the school for me. So yeah, those are the different kind of, and within a part of what I mean by you have so many different, you can work in a salon or you can go find a job with like, you could work at Sephora as a makeup artist. You could work at, you could find a job with like a traveling photographer. You can, you know, there's like so many where they want people. When Fashion Week, they, a lot of times like in New York and Rhode Island, they will ask for people like who want to come in and just help do the models' hair and makeup and get them ready. So in Rhode Island and Boston, there's like movie artists that like they need people to do hair and makeup on movies. So you can decide kind of what you want your path to be. If you feel like I don't necessarily stand behind a chair and listen to people's problems all day, maybe that's a better route, right? Or there's weddings. Tons of people go out and they just zero in on weddings and they become like wedding specialists and they can throw together an updo in 5 minutes. And so it's all about kind of where your passion is and what you like to do.
Cool. That's good to know. That's good that they're like, you just broke down the different areas you can go into. I wanted to ask a question too, before I forget, still on the education part of it, just for anyone listening, you were mentioning earlier that you have to have 1500 hours to graduate from the program. Does that have to be like within a certain time frame, or if there's somebody like yourself, you said you were working a full-time job and going to get your education in cosmetology as well. Is it like a time frame, or can you kind of do it at your own pace?
Yeah, there is a time frame. So they do want you to finish in a certain amount of time. If the way that they do it for Paul Mitchell, and I can't speak to how other schools are, but I assume they're pretty similar. There's three different programs you can sign up for. So you can do full days, which is like an 8-hour day. You can do part-time days, or you can do part-time night. So I did part-time night, which meant I went for 5 hours a night, 4 nights a week, until I finished. And so that took me a year. I think it took me 15 months, maybe 16. I think it was somewhere around there. I honestly, it's a blur, but, the thing that stinks is like, especially being in New England, when they closed for snow, you don't get hours for the hours that you're not there. So it's unlike having a snow day from normal school. Like you still, that's an additional day that you're tacking on to the end of your, you know, it's like, so for me, when I first signed up, my husband and I, my family has a timeshare in Hawaii every 2 years. And so when I signed up for school, when we looked at like the schedule that it should be, if I didn't miss anything and I made it through, I would be able to go to Hawaii and like celebrate having finished this accomplishment. And because of just different things that happened where the school got shut down or what, because I never missed on my own. That was one thing I was very committed to. I was not going to miss it. But I was like, I graduated the day before we left.
Wow.
So, and that was like, I had to go into the admission office and be like, normally they don't let you, if you're signed up for part-time days, you get 5 hours a day. That's it. They don't let you like come in and make more, do more. And I had to go to the admissions office and be like, you also don't allow people to be absent for more than 7 consecutive days. So my trip is 14 days. If you don't let me graduate before I leave, I will be like five hours shy. I was like, I will be 5 hours shy of finishing the program and you will kick me out because I won't be able to clock in for 14 days. So they were, thankfully they worked with me, but those are some of the rules. Like you can't miss more than 7 days. If you clock in, that counts as a day. So even if you clock in and you stay for 30 minutes and you clock out, you leave, you were still present on that day. And the way that you clock in is you had a code in a hand. And I think that's universal across all schools after talking to several cosmetologists, that they use like your fingerprints. And like, so it is you doing those hours. It is not anybody else. Like, but honestly, like that's so, you get so used to that, that it just becomes a part of your routine. And for me, I was working full time. So I was going into work at 7:30. I was working till 4:30. I was walking up the hill, clocking in at 5, going to school till 10, going home, sleeping, and doing it all again the next day. So it was definitely, and everyone's like, and you're just doing this for fun? Like,
well, it turned out for more than fun. So we're
That all worked out. But if you go full time days, you can get done sooner because you're getting almost double the time, you know. And you can switch. They let you switch from programs. So like I had a good friend of mine had switched from nights. She had started out in nights and then she switched to days. So they let you kind of figure out what works. But yeah, but they clock all those hours. And then you have a practical test at the end. You take a practical, which is like where they watch your skill and you prove that you can do, physically do it. And then you also have to take a written test. So it's 2 tests to get your license.
Okay. And I know, so all the hours that you have to complete. So is it like certain amount has to be hairdressing, certain amount has to be nails, certain amount has to be...
No. Nope. In cosmetology, it's all kind of all inclusive. The way that it works is you get those hours by being there and taking clients that come to the school. So you kind of do whatever comes in. So... I myself, like when I was in school is when balayage, which is like a highlighting service, a lot of people know it as ombre, but, that was just kind of coming into the industry. And so I was doing a ton of those at school because it's a cheaper price. So people would come there, but it's cheaper, but it would also take me, now I can do one of those services very quickly. It used to take me all night to do one client, you know, or my favorite stories to tell people is the first night that I hit the floor. So the way that we did it, we sat every night. We had what was called powwow when you first got to school. And for the first 20 minutes of the night, you were sitting in with the teachers and they were kind of telling you about like what you needed to know for the night and how you need to be prepared. And then they would hand out tickets, literal like paper tickets to tell you what you had that night for the services. So that first night, when the first night that you're in powwow, you don't go to powwow when you're in core. So it's like this big, exciting time. And you're like nervous because I'm actually going to have to do this on a human being and not just a doll. Like, what are you talking about? And so they gave me my ticket and it said that I had a polish change, nail polish. And I was like, oh, this is great. Nice and easy. I'm just going to take her nail polish off and put on a new coat. And the girl was in for a perm and the front desk had messed up and said polish change because it must have been alphabetical. So I walk out and I go to get this girl from the lobby and I look at her fingernails and I was like, oh, it looks like you have gel polish on. And she was like, yeah, she kind of looks at her nails and she gives me this weird look. And then she's like, yeah. And I was like, so you want to take that off? And she's like, I'm here for a perm. Now, This is my first night. So I'm freaking out because I'm prepared mentally to do a 15-minute nail polish. And now I'm in for a perm.
A perm.
It took me all night. That poor girl. I can do a perm now in an hour and a half. But that night, 5 hours to do this girl's perm. And I, that poor thing.
But I feel like that's like we go into hair schools as a client, knowing, you know, they're learning. Because I used to go to Empire. I had like somebody that I would go to there, and it would be a little bit of time for her to do twist or like a style on my hair, something like that. But yeah. I was like, I'm going here knowing that I'm going to be here for a little bit of time, but I'm not paying as much, and it's an opportunity for them to learn as well.
Yeah,
but that is funny though. Yeah, I never thought about it. I was there all night.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, the patience you had to show to sit there. I tell people all the time, like, I am all for giving people an opportunity, but I don't think I have the patience to go sit at a school and have it done. Like, I just, and it also takes longer because you have your consult and then the teacher comes over and has the same consult so that you make sure everybody's on the same page. And then you start to do your service. And then if you have questions, you have to bring the teacher over, and sometimes you have to wait for the teacher because there's only, you know, a couple of teachers for all these kids that are on there. So, but I mean, it's fun. It was a fun experience. I definitely was ready to be done, but that was more just because it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And in this industry, you learn more. Like, I remember the teachers saying it in powwow one day because somebody was complaining about how they weren't learning the newest and greatest that was out there. And the teacher said, we're here to teach you the technique. We're here to teach you the basics. The salon will teach you the rest. Like, and when you're in school, it's really frustrating to hear that. But when you're out of school, you actually get that. You can understand what they were trying to say, which is like, we're here to make sure you know how to part the hair and section the hair and do what needs to be done. How you get from point A to point B, you're going to figure out for yourself what's the best when you are doing it.
And I just love that. I just love like that whole journey, right? Because you're like, oh my gosh, I'm terrified. But it's like everybody starts somewhere, you know?
Everybody starts somewhere.
And now you're like, it took me 5 hours. Now it's like, oh, I can have two of those people and three of those people. Mm-hmm. So
yes, yeah.
That journey.
Yeah. And it's interesting because like I, you know, to tap into the business side a little bit, I hire people who are fresher out of school. And sometimes I find myself, and I'm only 6 years in, but sometimes I find myself like, come on, like, you should have this done already. And then I have to like step back and remember, like, girl, it took you this long. Like, yeah. It comes from experience. Muscle memory is real. Mm-hmm. So when you are having to think about everything you're doing, it takes longer. There are days where I leave and I'm like, I don't know what I just did. Like, my hands do it. I don't even think about it anymore, which also allows to the earlier conversation we were having around, I have to think about what I'm cutting, but also listening to you. That muscle memory helps me tap into those interpersonal communications better and to really hear what my client is saying, because I'm not always zeroed in. That's not to say, if someone came and sat in my chair and wanted a super technical cut that I don't do all the time, I would be the first one to be like, I'm sorry if I don't talk to you. I need to focus. Like, yeah. This takes a lot of mental energy, and I want to make sure that you get what you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, since we're on you mentioned the business side, let's get into that part then too. So like, can you mentioned it a little bit with like inheriting the business, but can you talk about like what that's like to, you basically inherited somebody else's business, and then just talk to you about like what that aspect of your day to day is. Cause you mentioned what your hairstylist life is like, but like, what is it to be an owner hairstylist as well? So that was like three questions. Yeah. Sorry, but
yeah, that's okay. So yeah, I think, the hairstylist hat is always on. I would say from the business perspective, I did inherit a business, and that I'm very, very lucky in that. But even with that, if you're brand new into the industry, it just takes time. So even with me taking on a book, I also took on a stylist that had been working for that, that hairstylist. And so a lot of the clients actually chose to go with her because they already knew her. Mm-hmm. And so I would say of the book I thought I was gaining, I probably kept 20%. So that left 80% of my time, which was really scary because I walked away from a full-time paying job to do this, like, I hope it works out, right? Like, I feel like this is the path I'm supposed to be doing. It feels so clearly written out. And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, God, like you told me to be here, but now I'm sitting here making nothing. And right. Like, what is happening? And so, word of mouth in this industry is, I think, one of the best things. And I think probably any trade that you talk to would say the same thing. Word of mouth. What I have learned is if they come in as a referral, they are 80% more likely to stay with you than if they come in off of just a regular advertising. And that's because when they come in as a referral, they have a personal investment in that. So-and-so already knows you. Mm-hmm. So-and-so already knows what you do. And if I don't like it, I'm going to have to answer to so-and-so about why I didn't like it. And this person loves you enough to tell me to go here. Right? So word of mouth is huge. Availability is huge. So I would go and I would sit in the salon for 8 hours and not do a single client. I would just sit there. I did own it. So from that perspective, I was rearranging and redecorating the salon almost constantly just to keep myself busy. I was wiping stuff down. I was cleaning. I was reorganizing. I was doing anything I could. But what that meant was I can specifically think of one client that ended up bringing me 8 clients. And that one client came in for a bang trim. And I met with her for 5 minutes. We clicked. We got along really well, and she went out and told 8 of her friends, you need to go check this place out. The place, the prices are affordable. The girl is awesome. She's our kind of people. Like, you need to go there. And I still have, that woman has since moved, and I still have the 8 clients that she brought me are still part of my client book now. You know, so one of the things about this industry from a business perspective that I like to tell everybody is, like, you've got to pay your dues. You have to sit it out. You have to wait it out. It's hard. It sucks. You're going to sit, if you're fortunate. So the salon industry has a couple of different pay scales for new people. You can choose to rent your own space, which means I'm paying you to be in this space and work here. I have 3 renters and I have 1 employee at this time. So my 3 renters, they pay me for their chair. But that also means that they are their own business within my business. Mm-hmm. So they set their own prices. They set their own hours. They set their own clientele, their own specialties, whatever they want to do. They make their own choices. My employee is relatively new. She just graduated school last March. And so she is a commission employee with hourly. So the way I do it is I pay hourly. If your commission exceeds your hourly, so for easy math, if you were supposed to make $100 for your hourly rate, like you worked enough to make $100, if you brought in enough business that your commission, I do 50% commission, which is actually very high for a salon. Most salons are 60-40, where the salon owner keeps 60%. I do 50-50 because I'm not actually there to make money on people. I really like to help encourage and grow. That's just me. If you did $250 worth of services that week, but your hourly was 100, technically your commission is 125. I'm going to give you the 125. Mm-hmm. But if you worked where you were supposed to get $100 and you only brought in $75 of services, I'm still going to pay you that $100. So I pay you minimum for hourly. Yeah. Once you exceed that hourly rate with your commission, you get your commission. That is the way I would encourage most people who decide they want to go in via a salon. I would encourage you to find a position like that, because you're guaranteed a minimum amount of money every week, no matter what your book is. You're guaranteed that hourly rate. Now, I've also, this particular employee would love to switch to rental, and I've told her she's welcome to switch to rental when the time comes, but I've encouraged her to wait until she's making her commission week over week over week. Right. Because what's easy to think as a new stylist, when you look at the numbers of what you're bringing in, is like, let's say you brought in $600 worth of services, so I paid you $300. You're looking at that number and you're thinking, but where's my other 300, right? Like, I did 600. What you're not thinking about is that I spent that additional $300 on your insurance, on your water and electric and supplies, the color, the shampoo, the towels, like, you know, from a business perspective, those are things that people don't think about. You walk into a business. I didn't think about it. I forgot that like toilet paper just doesn't show up in the bathroom, right? Like you have that, you have to provide that. Mm-hmm. So the paper towels, the soap, all the little things, we don't think about those things. We walk into a business and we just think like, oh, this space is really beautiful, but we don't think about all the underlying operational costs that go into that. Mm-hmm. At my salon, we play music. I have to pay for that music service. Mm-hmm. So these are all things that like when I talk to new stylists, it's like from a financial perspective, you think like, oh, I want to go on my own because I want to keep all the money. But you don't think about all the things that like that really means you're going to have to be paying.
Mm-hmm. That overhead costs that no one really thinks about.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you have any other words of wisdom for someone who's maybe been a hairstylist for a long time and they're trying to decide whether they want to go into the business aspect? Because there's some people that like have that knack for wanting to be like an entrepreneur, having their own business. And mm-hmm. some people are, you know, they'd rather just be like, nah, just give me my commission. I want to clock in. I want to clock out. Or what would be just some words of encouragement for someone who's like maybe on the fence, or maybe what's some things that you think are good qualities to have if you're going to have
Yeah, I'd say do it. If you feel like that's what you want to do, then absolutely do it. One of the things, like, so I'm the kind of person that is always kind of itching for the next thing, and I've actually been considering trying to become a coach for people like that. So I would love to kind of venture into that. But if it's something that you feel like you should be doing, like 100% do it. Don't let fear stop you, but you definitely need to be prepared. You need to be the kind of person that can kind of roll with the punches, because there's a lot of things that pop up that you just can't foresee. And I mean, I could not have known that 2 years in, I was going to get shut down for 3 months because of this like worldwide pandemic that just created mass chaos. I mean, none of us could have expected that, but like, especially the brand new business owner, there are going to be things that come at you that are just so unexpected. And in that moment, I just had to remember that, like, I wasn't the only entrepreneur that was going through that at the moment. I wasn't the only person that was kind of wondering what their business was going to look like. And I honestly, like, for me, I'm just so fortunate that we were able to stay open, because I know of a ton of salons that shut down during that time because they just couldn't. They couldn't do it. So I'm really grateful for that. But I would say, really think about what you want your business to look like, how you want it to feel. So that was something that I paid a lot of attention to when I was decorating my salon, when I was during COVID. I had actually, right before we got shut down, I had signed a lease on a new space, and I had to... I was like planning the space, not knowing what the new world would look like. And so I put a lot of effort into like thinking about how I wanted it to feel when people walked in, what was the first thing that they saw? What also, like, think about the salons that you've worked in. For stylists that are thinking about this, like, think about the salons you worked in, what you liked, what you didn't like. That's something that I do. Even now, like, I use my business background and think about the managers I've had. What did I like about them? Did I not like about them? And I think about that all the way back to my first job at 14 at Target, right? Like, what did I like about the people I worked for, and what didn't I like? And I try to learn from all of those different things and apply that. And then for my salon, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Steel Magnolias, but I wanted it to feel like really homey and really just like friendly, and you're welcome. I want you to feel welcome there. And I consider it success when people walk in and they're like, man, it's so comfortable in here. And I just like, all glory to God for that. But I try to establish that. I keep my prices at that. So like, from a business perspective, when you're thinking about your prices, you want to think about that. The higher you get, if you are blinded by the money, your clientele will be different at different price ranges. And so for me, I keep my stuff relatively affordable because I don't want snootier I don't want the higher end feel. I shouldn't say snooty right. because not everybody is snooty, but like I wanted it to continue to feel laid back and yeah. comfortable. And also I didn't want to put that much pressure on myself because if I'm telling you that my time is worth, like I was just watching a video and one of the stylists was like, I charge $97 for a haircut. I'm sorry. If I'm charging you close to $100 for a haircut, I expect it to be perfection. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put that kind of pressure on myself. Mm-hmm. So I don't price myself at that point. I want you to know what you're getting. Now, I'm better than Supercuts. I'm giving you a different environment, really, is what I mean by that. Not better skill-wise. There are great stylists that work there. Mm-hmm. But like I set my environment up to feel like a salon, like a higher end salon, but not the highest, mm-hmm. right? So you've got to think about that as a business. What do you want your vibe to be? And then look at what your prices are. Find salons that are in that same area. Look at what their prices are. Price yourself competitively. Don't overprice and don't underprice. You don't want to undersell yourself because your time is money. Your time is worth something, but also you don't want to like oversell and overpromise because then that's when you end up with, I think, in my experience, like bad reviews are going to come in from that right. perspective. Like I paid $200 and my hair is uneven. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, and it happens. I think that that's what's driven me is like, I don't want those reviews. I want to continue to say I've worked really hard. My business actually, when does this air?
This is going to air in January.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't say it then. I have some exciting stuff happening and I'm very proud of it. And I've worked really hard. And for 6 years, like when you Google search us, we're a 5-star reviewed, like,
that's awesome.
And I put a lot of pride in that. That to mm-hmm. me is worth more than any dollar that I could bring in because that's my reputation.
Mm-hmm.
That's my brand.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Those are really great tips for someone listening who wants to own their own business one day. I think we're going to wrap up, but this is my last question, similar to Kemi's. So anyone that's listening, that's like a student or maybe somebody like they're like younger, still in high school, maybe they're in college or someone that like yourself wants to mm-hmm. pivot into this. Like what would be some tips you have or advice like before they even get to cosmetology school, you know, what would be some tips mm-hmm. for that you would give them to get into to figure out if they want to pursue this career?
Just don't let the fear stop you. You know, there is so much out there that where people will say like, I feel like the stigma is changing. We need people in trades. My husband is in the trades. We know we need that. So I think that's changing. But like, if a trade is what you want to do, don't let the fear of people looking down on you or thinking that you're less than stop you from following your passion. And if you're afraid of pivoting because you're in a job and you're just not happy, like it's worth it. It's worth it. Do I miss the money sometimes? 100%. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be transparent about that. I 100% wish I was still making corporate money, but the rewards and what I feel coming from what I do every day, knowing that I followed a dream and that I get to do that and I get to be a part of people's, you know, transformations. Like you don't know what that's like. When you give somebody a haircut for the first time after their hair grew back from losing it with chemo and you get to look in the mirror with that person and you get to like love that person from afar, like there's no better feeling. And like that to me is worth more than any amount of dollar bill that you could give me. And so mm-hmm. don't let the fear, I think we let fear and judgment of others, and it may not even be real judgment, honestly. I think a lot of times the judgment that we're afraid of is really just projected judgment that we think people are going to have, and it's
preaching.
Not what they think. So don't let that stop you. Do not stop mm-hmm. yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Well, like two things. I know I said I was going to close, but I just two things you said. Like we need trades. People yes. need mechanics. We need welders. We need hairstylists. We need all types of people because everybody can't do their own stuff. Even though I try, I try to do my own. I have locks, and I used to try to do my own locks, and I was like, no, I need somebody to do this for me. But that's, you know, it's because I was going to be bald if I kept doing it. But, you know, it's like we need people to do these things. So that's like to your point about the judgment. You need somebody to service you in this way. But I also like what you said about you missed the money from your previous career, but the reward is changing people's lives. And that could be, again, anybody, but I think trades, you know, a mechanic. I'm gonna keep using the same ones, but like mechanic, you fix somebody's car and now they feel safer on the road. So
yeah,
you know, somebody in your chair, they feel like a new person or feel like their old self again, but it's the reward. And I think a lot of people are like searching for just fulfillment and they think it's in money, but sometimes it's really just in seeing people's reactions to how you've changed their life. So that's a great point. And just also like humbling for anybody that's, you said, like you said, fearful of, oh, what if I go into this and don't make the money or nobody comes to see me? Well, people will come to see you, you'll make the money. And then you have the reward of just being, you know, that person to really change a person's life more than you probably even know. So I think that's great advice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then one last thing I wanted to add too, I feel like, cause I had a conversation with my friend's son the other couple weeks ago, cause he was interested in trades. And something that really did pop into my mind was like, if you're doing a trade skill, you have like that opportunity to like, oh, if I want to own a business, you can own a business, you know, or you could contract yourself out. And then a lot of these trades, if you wanted to move somewhere, you could still do hair anywhere, you know, like,
oh yeah,
need that service. So,
I fantasize about that. Someday, you know? I will be in Hawaii doing hair. Like I'm telling you right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
If so Dave's real. Job could move, we would have moved. No, I don't want to live away from my family yet. But yeah, there's so much opportunity out there. There really is, that, you know, so we just can't, and the trades are dying, and it makes me sad because it affects everything. Like we don't think about that, but like when your light goes out, you don't try to fix it. You call an electrician. Like we need these people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Brittany, thank you so much for being on here. That was really, really good. Like very good advice all around. You even gave just nuggets, your coaching business, maybe in your future, because you also gave free advice, I feel like, too.
You did.
For sure. You gave really good advice for students, for future entrepreneurs. So that was really awesome. We really appreciate you being here. Before we wrap up too, do you mind, or if you want to shout out your business or if you have social media or if people can get in touch with you, if you want to shout it out, you're welcome to.
Yeah. So you can follow me on Instagram at Britt@blbeautyri.com or on Facebook at the same. And then my website is blbeautyri.com. So yeah. Oh, sorry. I think Instagram Britt@blbeautyri. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And we'll link it in the show notes too. But if you're in Rhode Island, maybe in Hawaii, you'll see Brittany in the future. But for right now, in Rhode Island or the New England area, because you know, it's so small. I've been there before. It's tiny. I love it though. that was my little shade. But no, I love Rhode Island. I love New England, honestly. But thank you so much for being on with us. We really appreciate your insight.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you everybody for listening. We really appreciate your continued support. And as always, if you have other people you want to hear from in different careers or other things that you just want us to talk about, please let us know. Our inbox is dry on Instagram, TikTok, I guess has inbox. I don't know. Emails. We want to hear from you. So let us know what you want to hear from us so we can continue to bring things that you want to hear. But with that same thing, please keep sharing the podcast. Keep telling your friends about it. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Yawson Podcast. You can email us, like I mentioned. It's all in the show notes. So, yeah, we look forward to hearing from you. And, yeah, thank you. We'll see you in the next one. See you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.